Booty dub, you know.
Brings the books, as I understood. I saw him carry the books.
Okay, can you do me a favor?
Yes.
At the end, can you make some announcements?
Nice announcements. I will try to announce nice announcements, not like yesterday.
Your English announcements are okay.
Not so nice.
If you speak slower.
Slower, okay. Okay, I will write it before. No, it's easy.
And when you want to make an announcement in English about the books? You want to make an announcement to anybody in Russian? Anna can do it in Russian. Don't feel bad, Jagodachankovan. Don't feel bad, Jagodachankovan. You're going to get your medal soon.
How do you know my heart?
She told me at night you're waking up in the middle of the night and crying.
Who is this, madam? This garland is from Rishangadev. She had to fight the Pujari for it.
What's that?
This garland? This garland from Rishangadev.
Wow.
She had to fight the Pujari for it. That's what she said.
She beat the Pujari?
Yeah, she beat the Pujari.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, she's not as
he
nice as
tells
me
all these things about you, Mataji. That's yours.
Namo Yeah.
Radha Konda Giri Govinda.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Ratidam yati singha gora Govinda deshi kavaram satatam namami Uttama adama kichuna bachira jachiya dileka kola Kahe premananda emona goranga Hridoya dariya bola Tasmai jagan mangala mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya namo namaste Chaitanya Chandraya namo namaste Chaitanya Chandraya namo namaste Madgavir api gopala Sri kriyat kripaya judi Tadaiva sambhaya pitva Rishi yustat priya janaha Sri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunath Apta Vrajabala Vapahima Panchakopa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaevacha Patitanam Pavane Vaishnavibhyo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Can you do something, you think? Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we've been speaking for the last couple of days. You're waving at me. Can everybody please come forward? Please, please, everyone come. Everyone should come and try to sit on my lap. It's okay, I took a bath last week, so please come. Come forward. So we make some room for devotees to come. So we've been speaking something for the last few days about Vaishnav Seva. In the first day, we spoke something in general about the general principles of Seva. And then yesterday, we spoke a little more something about who's a Vaishnav and how do we recognize a Vaishnav. It's very important. If you want to do Vaishnav Seva, who's a Vaishnav? And today, we'd like to speak something about Guru Seva. So I'd like to read a very wonderful verse, one of my favorite verses, from 7th canto of Bhagavatam. This is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. It's a prayer to Lord Nrisimhadev. Chapter 9, text 28. Evam janam nipatitam brabhavahi kupe kama vikama manuya prapatan prasangat kritvatma satsarasina bhagavan grihita soham katam nuvisijetava britya sevam. Prahlad prays to Lord Nrisimhadev. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant, Narad Muni, kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Srila Prabhupada gives a very wonderful purport. Please listen carefully. As will be seen in later verses, even though Prahlad Maharaj was directly offered all the benedictions he might have desired, he refused to accept such offerings from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the contrary, he asked the Lord to engage him in the service of his servant, Narad Muni, the Lord's servant, Narad Muni. This is a symptom of a pure devotee. One should serve the spiritual master first. It is not that one should bypass the spiritual master and desire to serve the Supreme Lord. This is not the principle for a Vaishnav. Narottam Das Thakur says, Tadera charana sevi bhakta sannivas janame janami hoy e abhilash. One should not be anxious to offer direct service to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that one become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Gopi bartu padakamalayur dasa das anudasa. This is the process for approaching the Supreme Lord. The first service should be rendered to the spiritual master so that by his mercy one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to render service. While teaching Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Guru Krishna Prasad Hi Pai Bhakti Lata Beech. One can achieve the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the Guru, the spiritual master, and then by the mercy of Krishna. This is the secret of success. First, one should try to please the spiritual master, and then one should attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, Yasya prasadad Bhagavat prasado. One should not attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by concoction. One must first be prepared to serve the spiritual master. And when one is qualified, he is automatically offered the platform of direct service to the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj proposed that he engage in the service of Narad Muni. He never proposed that he engage directly in the service of the Lord. This is the right conclusion. Therefore, he said, Soham katam nu vishijay tavabritya sevam. How can I give up the service of my spiritual master who has favored me in such a way that I am now able to see you face to face? Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord that he might continue to engage in the service of his spiritual master, Narada Muni. Mm-hmm. So this is the principle, as we've been speaking something about the last few days. We quoted a few days ago this important verse, often quoted by our acharyas, spoken by Krishna to Arjuna in the Adi Purana. Krishna says, Yene bhakta jana partha name bhakta sate janaha. Those people who say they're my devotee, they're not my devotee. But mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamo mata. Someone who's a devotee of my devotee, that's my real devotee. And yesterday we spoke something, we told the story about Kanchipurna, who was living in Kanchipuram and worshipping the deity of Lord Varadaraj. And Lord Varadaraj told him, although you're so dear to me, you can't get liberation because you haven't done Vaishnav Seva. So important is Vaishnav Seva. So, if we want to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada is making clear in this purport, we must please Guru. And what pleases Guru? Guru is pleased when he sees that we're serving the Vaishnavas. There's many stories about Ramanujacharya in this regard. He had one disciple, his name was Lalacharya. He was a grihastha. And Lalacharya and his wife, they lived on the bank of the Kaveri River in South India. And Ramanuja once called for his disciple and he told Lalacharya, I'm very pleased with your humility and your sincerity. And so I have an instruction for you that you should love the Vaishnavas as much as you love the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lalacharya, he thought for a moment. He was very sober. And he said, Guru Maharaj, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I can't love the Vaishnavas as much as I love Krishna. So then Ramanuja said, okay, then at least you should love the Vaishnavas as much as you love your own spiritual master. Lalacharya was quiet again and bowed his head down. He said, Guru Maharaj, how can I love anyone as much as I love you? I'm sorry, I can't do that. So then Ramanuja said, okay, final offer. He said, at least you should love the Vaishnavas as much as you love your own brother. And Lalacharya said, yes, Guru Maharaj, I can do that. So some time went by. One day his wife had gone to the bank of the Kaveri River to wash her clothes. She didn't have a washing machine. And there on the bank of the Kaveri, she saw something a little shocking. There was a dead body of some person. And that person, the dead body, had Vaishnav Tilak on his head. and Kunti Mala. So his wife ran home. She said, "My dear Pati, my dear husband, I found a dead body in the Kaveri River. Some Vaishnav left his body." And so Lala Charja, remembering the instruction of his Guru Maharaj, he began to cry. "My brother died." He had never met the person. Doesn't know who he is. But he really had this sincere feeling. "Oh, my brother died." And so he got some devotees together and they brought a palanquin and they went, they picked up the body with kirtan and they brought the body to the smasana, the crematory grounds, and they burned the body. And then Lalja Charja, he went door to door in their village and he went to all the exalted Brahmins there and he told them, "My brother died. You please come, we're going to perform a shraddha ceremony on his behalf after his departure." And all the those Brahmins, who were actually smarta Brahmins, they looked at him. They said, "This guy's nuts. He doesn't have a brother. Everybody knows that." And we all heard the story, some strange person, some dead body he found in the river. And we don't know if the person was a street sweeper. We don't know if they were Gunda. We have no idea who that person was who died. And now he's coming to us and he wants us to go to his house to eat some food that he's calling prasad for his brother, who's not actually his brother. And they all began to laugh at him. Lala Charja felt very hurt. So he went to his Guru Maharaj, Ramanuja, and he said, "Guru Maharaj, my brother died. You told me that all the Vaishnavas, I should love them as much as I love my brother. And so I wanted to perform some shraddh for him. He's my brother. And I invited all the Brahmins in the village and Guru Maharaj, they won't come. They're laughing at me." Ramanuja didn't say anything. He just looked up at the sky for a moment. And then he looked back down and he nodded his head. And he told Lala Charja, he said, "Go to your home and you begin to cook. You offer some bhoga. Some devotees will come." So Lala Charja said, "Yes, Guru Maharaj." So he returned to his home and he was cooking. And after some time, a group of very effulgent Brahmins came to that village. And they inquired, "Do you know someone named Lala Charja?" "Yes," he said. "We heard that his brother died. We're here for the shraddh ceremony. Where does he live?" "He lives over there." They told him like that. And so those Brahmins, they went and knocked on the door of Lala Charja. And he answered the door. And they said, "Oh, your Guru Maharaj told us we should come. We're here for the shraddh ceremony of your brother." "Oh, please come in." And he brought them all in. He sat them down. He began to serve out leaf plates. Meanwhile, all those envious smarta Brahmins in that village were speaking amongst themselves. And they said, "Who are these strange Brahmins coming here? They're fools. They don't know. This Lala Charja doesn't have a brother. He's just sentimental. And these Hare Krishna people are like that. He's just a sentimental fellow. I'll tell you what we do." They made a plan. "We'll wait outside the door. And when those Brahmins come out, we're going to sit there, we'll stand there, and we'll laugh at them for going and eating that food from Lala Charja." Good idea. So they all were standing outside the house of Lala Charja. And meanwhile, inside the house, with great happiness, with tears streaming down his face, Lala Charja was thanking them all for coming, and "My brother died," and putting out leaf plates for everyone, and then bringing them all prasadam. And they all began to take prasadam with great happiness. And then an amazing thing happened. Lala Charja suddenly saw that all those Brahmins had four arms. They were all residents of Vaikuntha. And then he really began to cry. "Oh, I'm so fortunate by the mercy of my Gurudev. Oh." So they took prasadam very happily. And they said, "Thank you, Lala Charja. All glories to your brother." "We have to go now." And so those Vaikuntha Basis, they began to leave, again resuming their Brahmin-like forms. And as they came out of the door, those envious Brahmins are all standing there waiting to laugh at them. But they all forgot to laugh, because it was a rather strange thing. Those Brahmins came out the door and they started walking like they were going up steps, only there was no steps. They were just going up into the air. And so they were disappearing. And those Brahmins, we would say in America, they had an attitude adjustment. They realized, oh, we kind of sort of made a mistake. And they went to Lalacharya and they fell at his feet and they said, oh, dear Lalacharya, please forgive us. We didn't come to respect your brother for his shred ceremony. We made a big, big mistake. We committed some offense to you. Please forgive us. And Lalacharya is such a soft heart. He said, no, no, no. He said, by your mercy, if it wasn't that you had behaved the way you did, they wouldn't have come. I wouldn't have gotten darshan of the residents of Vaikuntha. So important is Vaishnava Seva that Ramanujacharya instructed his disciple, you should love the Vaishnavas as much as you love the Lord. If you can't do that, at least as much of you as your guru. And if you can't do that, then at least you should love them as much as you love your brother. So very, very important is Vaishnava Seva. Our relationship with our Gurudev is everything. And pleasing our Gurudev is everything. In that regard, there's another story also about Ramanuja. Maybe I'll tell you that one too. Ramanujacharya, on one occasion, he decided that he wanted to go for some Tirthayatra. And he sent some of his disciples ahead to go to the village they were going to go to approach one of Ramanuja's disciples, whose name was Yogesh. Yogesh was a very wealthy businessman. And Ramanuja told him, you should go to Yogesh and tell him that his Guru Maharaj is coming with a large number of disciples and he should get ready to serve everyone. So when those two messengers arrived at the house of Yogesh, it was a very, very hot day. They were very tired and very thirsty, and they arrived there, and they told Yogesh, Guru Maharaj is coming with a group of our god brothers. And Yogesh became so ecstatic. He had so much love for Ramanuja. He began to jump up and down, Haribo, Haribo. But he was so happy in his happiness, he forgot all about receiving his guests, his own god brothers, and he just neglected them. And so they waited a little while, and they left a little disappointed, thirsty. And they returned back to Ramanujacharya. And Ramanuja asked him, so did you give that message to Yogesh? And he said, yes, Guru Maharaj, we did. And Ramanuja asked him, then, how did he receive you? He said, well, Guru Maharaj, he was very happy to hear that you were coming. But did he receive you nicely? Did he offer you a seat? Did he offer you some water or some prasadam? They said, no, Guru Maharaj. He was so happy that you were coming that I think he forgot all about that. So Ramanuja was very unhappy with that. And so he told the devotees that instead of going to the home of Yogesh, we're going to go to the home of Vardacharya. Vardacharya is another disciple in the same village of Ramanuja. But Vardacharya was a very, very poor man. He didn't have anything. In his house, there were no insects living. They'd all starved to death long before. There was nothing there. And Ramanuja suddenly arrived with a large group of disciples to the home of Vardacharya, unannounced. Vardacharya had no idea that his Guru Maharaj was coming at all. His wife Lakshmi Devi was there alone, and she became very ecstatic. "Oh, Guru Maharaj, oh, please come in and sit down." And she offered some water for them to drink and some seat. And she told them, I'm cooking something just now. I'll make some prasad and you just wait. And Lakshmi Devi was in big anxiety because they didn't have one grain of rice, not one speck of flour in the house. And Varadacharya, her husband, was out begging alms. What to do? Krishna says, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Twam. If someone approaches me and they have some desire to serve me, some desire to serve Guru, then Krishna gives intelligence to that devotee. And so Lakshmi Devi got some intelligence. And she remembered, our neighbor, this businessman, very nasty fellow. He's always been making indecent proposals to me and sending different girls to me to request me to go to him. Such a nasty fellow. But maybe I should take advantage of that. So Lakshmi Devi, she went next door and she knocked on the door of that businessman's house and came to the door. He was very surprised to see her. He thought that all of his lust was in vain, that there was no way she was ever going to agree. And now here she was at his door. And he was surprised, and she said, "Look, I know what you want. I'll agree to fulfill your desires. My Guru Maharaj is here, though, and my godbrothers, and we need some boga. I want to feed them a very opulent feast. Can you make some arrangement? And then I'll come later today, and you can enjoy with me." And the businessman was very happy. And so immediately he arranged for a big cart of very pure ghee, first-class rice, and flour, paneer, and so many different vegetables and fruits and things. And he sent it to the house of Varadacharya. And Lakshmi Devi began to cook so many things. And after some time, Varadacharya returned home, and he saw there was his Guru Maharaj and all of his godbrothers. And Varadacharya was so ecstatic, "Oh, Guru Dev," and he bowed down. And then he could smell Lakshmi Devi's cooking something. How is this? He went into the kitchen. He saw the whole kitchen was full of boga, so many things. And he asked her, "How did you manage to do this?" And Lakshmi Devi became very ashamed. Because for a lady, especially in Vedic culture, her chastity is her life. And Lakshmi Devi, she said, "Well, Gurudev came and there was nothing I could do. So I went to the house next door to that lusty fellow who's been bothering me. And I agreed to enjoy with him in exchange for him to give some vegetables and things." When Varadacharya heard that, he started jumping up and down. "Haribo! Haribo! Haribo!" And he said, "I am so fortunate. I have a real chaste wife. I have a first-class wife, a real Dharma Patni. Mm-hmm. You're the best of wives. So wonderful." He was so happy. And together they served out prasadam to Ramanuja. And Ramanuja had heard some noise in the back room. And he called Varadacharya over after prasadam. He said, "What's going on?" And Varadacharya said, "Well, it's kind of like this." And he told the whole story. So Ramanuja, he told them then, he said, "You take some of the remnants from the devotees here," and gave him some of the remnants from his own plate. "And you take that to that businessman, and you go with your wife." And so Varadacharya and Lakshmi Devi went next door to the house of that wealthy businessman, and she said, I'm here to fulfill your desire, but I wanted to give you some Mahaprasad, my Guru Maharaj's remnants." And that businessman was pious enough in those days in Vedic culture, even the lustiest of persons had some culture. He was pious enough to appreciate the value of the remnants of a great personality. So very eagerly he took that. And when he took that Mahaprasad, his consciousness became changed. And all the lust and nasty things, and his consciousness went away. And he felt great remorse. And he fell at the feet of Lakshmi Devi, that chaste wife of Ardhacharya, and he began to cry. He said, "Please forgive me. I have committed a great offense to you. I didn't recognize that you were a chaste lady, and now I'm going to become destroyed by my offenses to you." And Lakshmi Devi, she told him, "Dear sir, don't worry. Please, it's okay. You helped us. You gave so much bhoga so that we could serve our Guru Maharaj. If you really feel bad, you should come and meet Guru Maharaj." And so that wealthy businessman came there and he met Ramanuja. And in the association of Ramanuja, he had a further transformation. And again he began to cry and fall at the feet of that great Mahatma. And he begged for initiation from Ramanuja. And Ramanuja gave him initiation and gave him an instruction. "You're a wealthy man. Now you're prayaschitta. You've committed some offense to this chaste lady. You should give some of your wealth to Vardacharya and his wife." And at that time, Vardacharya, he said, "Guru Maharaj, please, no, no, no. I'm happy. Life is good. We're simple. I don't need any money. I don't want that from you, Gurudev. All that I want is to serve. I don't need any money. Money brings so much anxiety and so much unhappiness and things. Please, Gurudev, I don't want that." So just around that time, Ramanuja's other disciple, Yagyesh, he'd been waiting and waiting in his home, very eager to see Guru Maharaj and his godbrothers, and he wasn't coming, wasn't coming, wasn't coming. He couldn't figure out what's going on. Finally, he sent some of his servants out to see if anyone had heard that Ramanuja was coming or something. The servants returned and they said, "Well, we found out that Guru Maharaj, he went to the house of Vardacharya instead." And then Yogesh could understand, "I don't know what it is, but I did something wrong. Because Vardacharya doesn't have anything." And so Yogesh went there and he said, "Guru Maharaj, I don't know, I've committed some offense." And Ramanuja told him, "The Vaishnavas, they came to your house and you didn't even greet them with some sweet words. You didn't offer them a seat. You didn't give them anything to drink. It was very hot that day. You could have given them some prasadam, a place to rest, and you just neglected them." And Yogesh began to cry. He said, "Guru Maharaj, I've committed a great offense. Please forgive me." And Ramanuja told him, "I understand that it wasn't intentional. And don't worry. Next time we come through the village, I'll come and visit you." Sometime back, I found one issue of the Harmonist magazine, which is published on the 11th of May, 1932. And there's an article in it from Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati commenting on this story. I'd like to read you a little something from it. "The story of the wife who promised to offer her body to the lust of a neighbor in order to obtain alms of food for her guru and his associates when they chanced to present themselves to her home during the absence of her husband, who later praised her for her conduct." This story may not be appreciated by those who do not believe the sequel of the story, the end of the story. We are told in the concluding part of the narrative that as the remains of the food which had been offered to the Lord were taken to the neighbor by the couple who expressed their gratitude for his help and asked him to honor that food, there was a sudden change of mind of the amorously disposed trader. As he reverentially tasted the Mahaprasadam, all his former evil propensities left him for good, and he fell down at the feet of the loyal lady whose mercy was the cause of his undeserved deliverance. The above story is no exaggeration of the absolute submission to the guru that is insisted upon by Sri Ramanuja as a most essential condition for admission into the spiritual community. Equal reverence is required to be shown to the associates and all the disciples of the guru. They should all be offered unasked, unconditional and unlimited service. The only difference being that the guru and the associates of the guru are entitled to receive service without rendering it to the disciple. They're entitled to get that service and they don't have to give it back. No one except a Vaishnava is a real spiritual guide. The Vaishnava guru does not make his disciple follow any definable course. We printed this recently in our Bindu magazine, and I made a little comment here, meaning that in his dealings with his disciples, a Vaishnava guru is not bound to follow social dogma. While instructing disciples, such a guru may even apparently transgress mundane propriety for the sake of devotion. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta continues. Such a guru is found to act as an autocrat in relation to his disciple. Neither does he appear to pay the least attention to the letter of the scriptural injunctions in settling the duties of his charge. We were speaking about this in Jagannath Puri some. Śrīla Prabhupāda made a comment in 1972 in one of his lectures on nectar devotion in Vrindavan. One sentence, but in that one little sentence there's a lot packed up. Prabhupada said there's two considerations, Smarta-vichara and Goswami-vichara. The consideration of the Smarta Goswamis who think they have to follow all the rules and regulations. And such persons, Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he says in one place, they feel that I must follow all these rules of Vanashram Dharma, and if I don't, I'm going to go to hell. Whereas the Vaishnavas have Goswami Vichar. They have another consideration. And we see this in Madhyalila chapter 12 of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Beda Kirtan pastimes, wherein Maharaj Prataparudra is being pointed out by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He's being pointed out all the different associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Maharaj Prataparudra, he knows the rules and regulations. He's the king of Puri, the Gajapati Maharaj. And he became confused. He said, Sarvabhauma, all these persons, they're coming, you're saying they're great saints, but they're not taking bath. They're not shaving their head. They're not fasting. They're not even going to have darshan of Jagannath, which is what you're supposed to do when you come to Puri. Without doing any of those things, they're all running to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now I see they're going to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're all taking prasadam without having first darshan of Jagannath or shaving their head or taking bath or doing any of these rules and regulations. So he couldn't really get his head around it. Just as a little side note, we were speaking about this, a very interesting and important topic. If you study in the history of Christianity, Christ was born in a Jewish family. And all the early Christians, the first Christians, were all Jews. And their conception was, to be a Christian means you have to follow the Jewish law. And then later, when Paul began to do some preaching, and some Gentiles, some outside persons, became Christians, there was a crisis in the church because those new people didn't want to follow all the rules of Judaism. And they weren't interested in that, but they were interested in the mercy of Christ. But the original followers of Christ, they were insisting, no, Christ was born in a Jewish family and you must follow all the rules of Judaism, otherwise you're not really a Christian. And it was Peter who stepped forward and said, no, this is all ridiculous. And he told all the traditional Jewish followers, he said, even we can't follow all the rules of Judaism. How can we expect these other new people to do that? Rather, they should just come and accept the mercy of Jesus Christ. So I thought this is a very similar thing to the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. From aparavichar, from an external point of view, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born in a Hindu family. And people were following all the Hindu rules and regulations. And indeed, to this day, there are many Gaudiya Vaishnavas who feel that you must follow all the rules and regulations of Manu Samhita and different Smriti Shastras and things. Otherwise, you can't really be a Vaishnav. But this wasn't the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It wasn't the message of the Goswamis. It's the concept of those persons who have this smarta vichar, who think you have to follow all the rules and regulations perfectly, otherwise you can't get anything. But Rupa Goswami has instructed us in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, smarta vyasatatam vishnu vismarta vyanujatu chit sarve vidina seda shur eta yoriva kinkara. All the rules and regulations are servants of these two principles. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. Now, this is a very, very big subject. We could have a whole seminar just on this one topic. What is the difference between Smarta Vichara and Goswami Vichara? It's a very subtle thing. It's not just that rules are bad, but what's bad is when we follow rules without understanding the purpose behind them. Someone may be a Smarta and think you can't get bhakti unless you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And that's the attitude of a smarta. Because bhakti is not dependent on anything. Bhakti is swarat. Bhaktya sanjayate bhakti. Bhakti comes from bhakti. Bhakti is not dependent upon anything else. But on the other hand, Srila Prabhupada has instructed the devotees to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So what is the difference between the two attitudes? It's a very subtle thing. We do these things for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. We do these things because we want to make spiritual advancement. Not because I think that, oh, if I get up every day at 4 o'clock in the morning, then I'm going to get Krishna Prem. Otherwise, the milkman and the mailman and every person who has to get up early to go to work, they're going to be Premi Bhaktas, right? It doesn't work like that. It depends on the consciousness that we have toward it. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, in speaking something about this, he says, such a Vaishnava doesn't appear to pay the least attention to the letter of the scriptural injunctions in settling the duties of his charge. It may not appear that he's following the Shastric injunctions, like Srila Prabhupada. He went to the West. He was staying in the Bowery. He's stepping over dead bodies. There were needles and drunkards and people vomiting and passing urine all around him. He was staying with a drug addict. Sometimes he was staying with meat eaters and keeping his boga in the refrigerator with their meat. This is not following rules and regulations, allowing ladies to live in the temple, giving them Gayatri Mantra, and so many things that hadn't been done before. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is speaking about this. He says that such a Vaishnava doesn't appear to pay the least attention to the letter of the scriptural injunctions in settling the duties of his charge. One who is on a visit to one of the numerous mutts or centers of training established under the auspices of the Sri Vishva Vaishnava Raj Sabha all over the country cannot fail to notice the absence of anything like conventionalism. Isn't that a beautiful sentence? I'll translate that into simpler English. That someone, he says, goes to our temples all over India, they can't help but see that there's no conventionalism. We're not interested in the smarta vichara. The conventions themselves, to the extent that they are allowed to be practiced by particular inmates, are also to be fully, also found to be fully, as natural expressions of a living faith in the absolute as the unconventional life prescribed to another inmate of the institution. I'll probably have to translate that also. The rules, the conventions themselves, he says, to the extent that we allow them to be practiced in our mutt, those rules are actually natural expressions of a living faith. They're not just getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning because I have to, otherwise I'm going to go to hell. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's four different motivations, four different reasons why someone begins to practice spiritual life. Baya, asa, karta, vibhuti, and rag. He describes this in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, which interestingly, I came across some comments recently from Pradyumna Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple. And Prabhupada once saw, Pradyumna had a Bengali book. Pradyumna is a Prabhupada's pundit. On his desk, and Prabhupada said, oh, what is that? He said, oh, Prabhupada, it's Harinam Chintamani. And Prabhupada said, why are you reading that book? And he said, well, Prabhupada, it's such a nice book. Prabhupada said, it is not very important. He said, and Pradyumna said, but it speaks all about how to avoid the offenses of the holy name. And Prabhupada said, you are still worried about that? I'm just repeating what Pradyumna Prabhu said. I like Harinam Chintamani, don't mind. And then Prabhupada told him, actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's most important books are Jiva Dharma and Chaitanya Sikshamrita. So in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda says there's four different reasons someone begins to practice spiritual life. Baya, asha, karta, vibhuti, and rag. Baya means out of fear. Someone is afraid. And out of that fear, they follow rules and regulations. We see this in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Sanatana Goswami, I think it's in the 15th Vilas, he describes the glories of the observance of the festival of Janmashtami. And he says in the beginning of the chapter, you might miss it in the small print. You have to pay attention to the small print in Hari Bhakti Vilas. He says that there are three different reasons why someone may observe Janmashtami: out of fear, out of a desire to get something, and out of love. And then he gives half a verse describing the motivation of love, and then he gives like 100 verses speaking about fear. And if you don't fast completely, if you even think of smelling water on Janmashtami, the Yamadutas are going to come and they're going to torture you, and you are going to really suffer really, really bad. So you had better observe Janmashtami really good. He gives all kinds of verses like that. And then there's another few hundred verses speaking about, and if you do a Janmashtami, you may get an apsara as your wife. You'll get lots of money. You'll become the temple president. You'll get so many wonderful things if you observe Janmashtami. So if you don't read this fine print and think about what his purpose is, you may just think these other things are more important. So Bhaktivinoda, in a similar way, he gives four things. Baya, out of fear. Someone observes something. They're afraid, if I don't do this, God is going to damn me to hell for eternity. And asha means out of some desire. Just like once I was distributing books at the Santa Monica DMV in Los Angeles. And I was out there in the parking lot, and some young man came up to me at one point, and he said, hey, you should chant this mantra. I got this great mantra, Nyam Myoho Renge Kyo, a Buddhist mantra. And he said, this is such a good mantra. I chanted this mantra and I got a new guitar. I got a bicycle. You chant this mantra, you'll get whatever you want. So this is asha. And people, they practice spiritual life for that motivation. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that baya and asha are very low class. Better than baya and asha is karta vibhuti. Karta vibhuti means out of a sense of responsibility. Gurudev gave me initiation. I made a promise. I have to keep my responsibility. This is karta vibhuti. But Bhaktivinoda, he said that nam bhajan is so sweet that even if someone has a motivation of bhaya or asha, they can quickly come to the platform of real bhakti, which is rag. Rag means spontaneous attraction. So this is what Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati is speaking about in this article. He says, it is for this reason that the life led by the inmates of these mutts has proved to be such a baffling enigma for the conventional understandings even of their genuine well-wishers. People can't figure them out. What are they doing? They couldn't figure Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati out, because they weren't performing the shrub ceremony, which good Hindus all do. And they said, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to Gaya to perform shrub for his father. You should do like that. But Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta said, no, It's not required. If someone is initiated into Vaishnava mantra and they're taking shelter of Guru, they're chanting the holy names, such a person doesn't need to perform those kind of ceremonies. Their parents will automatically be delivered, their parents and all their relatives. So, he says, it's for this reason that the life that the devotees in the temple are leading, it's completely confusing for the conventional understandings of even persons who, maybe they're genuine well-wishers, they can't understand those devotees. He says the guru alone really knows his disciple. The scriptures must not be supposed to be on a level with our so-called blundering rationalism. Don't think that the scriptures, that we can just understand the scriptures with our dull mind. We were quoting Srila Prabhupada from that verse in purport in 7th canto, and he quotes Narottam Das Thakur, Tadara Charana Sevi Bhakta Sannivas, Janame Janami Hoy Eyabi Las. Prabhupada quotes the same line from Narottam Das Thakur's song in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he says that one should not proudly think that one can become a devotee just by reading books. He said, rather, one must become a servant of the Vaishnavas. And in Bombay, Srila Prabhupada gave one lecture, and he said very strongly there, I listened to this lecture, I thought, my God, Srila Prabhupada's speaking about the future. Listen to what he said. Prabhupada said, some people say, there's no use, what is the use of accepting a guru? I'll just read the books. And Prabhupada said, of course they have a very bad experience. That's Prabhupada's comment. Prabhupada was seeing what was going to happen. Of course they have a very bad experience. And then Prabhupada said, you may read the Bhagavad Gita 100 times. You may read it 1,000 times. You won't understand a single word unless you approach Guru. And this is Srila Prabhupada's point in this verse, evam janam nipatitam prabhavahi kupe, that we began reading. So, to go back to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. The scriptures must not be supposed to be on a level with our so-called blundering rationalism. They never favor the creation of sect or dogma in their ordinary worldly sense. Shastra, we may think that Shastra advocates some sectarianism, some different groups and things. But Shastra's not saying like that. We can't understand Shastra unless we approach Guru. Acharyavan Purusho Veda, the Upanishads describe. Acharyavan Purusho Veda. If you want to understand Shastra, you must approach Guru. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is quoted, Lord Shiva, Aham Vedmi, Sukhavedi, Vyasavedi Navediva, Bhakti Bhagavatam Grayam Naburiya Najatikaya. He said, I understand Srimad Bhagavatam. That's a long story, because Lord Shiva, he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam in Bhubaneswar, the place known as Ikamrakhanan. It's a long story. Sukhavedi, Sukadev Goswami understands it, because Sukadev came in the form of a parrot in that forest, and he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Lord Shiva. And he said, Vyasavedi Navediva. Whether Vyasadeva understands or not, I don't know. I can't say. He didn't hear from me. I don't know if Vyasadeva understands the Bhagavatam or not. Bhakti Bhagavatam Grayam Na Buddhaya Na Chatikaya. You can't understand Srimad Bhagavatam by dint of your intelligence, Buddhaya, nor Chatikaya by taking help of commentaries. But Bhakti Bhagavatam, only by Bhakti can one understand. Because Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Bhagavat describes, Premamoyi Bhagavata, Krishna da Sri Anga, that the Srimad Bhagavatam is made out of Krishna Prem, and it's part of the body of Krishna. So, we can't understand unless we have that Krishna Prem, unless we approach someone who is a liberated soul. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta goes on to say, such a Vaishnav guru never prescribes any mechanical course to any individual. Don't do things in a mechanical way. That's not our process. Our process is to do things in a very, very thoughtful way. I saw a letter Vaisheshika Prabhu sent me yesterday. Prabhupada wrote to Roy Ram. There was a controversy in very early days about Prabhupada's books, about editing them. And Hayagriva Prabhu, who was a professor of English, was upset that Roy Ram maybe wasn't doing things properly. He was changing the books something. And Prabhupada wrote back to him and he said, no, it's not necessary that we have some men of letters going over the books. But Roy Ram, he's a surrendered devotee. And because he has the mercy of Guru, he can understand. And someone else may be a big, big scholar, but they won't understand. This is Srila Prabhupada's statement. So Shastra never prescribes any mechanical course to any individual. The formulation of general rules, which are intended to be binding on the members of a community, is the sorry device of our bankrupt rationalism for contriving the destruction of free individual functioning. It's a beautiful statement. the formulation of general rules, this idea of making all these rules and things to bind up people in a community, you must follow all these things, otherwise you're in big trouble. It's a sorry device, a pathetic thing to use for persons, by persons who have bankrupt rationalism. They can't understand. For contriving the destruction of free individual functioning, to stop free individualism. Srila Prabhupada wrote a famous letter to Karandara Prabhu. He said that Krishna consciousness, maybe someone can correct me, I don't remember exactly what he said, must be individual and voluntary. What is it? Individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. Vaisheshika said that's ISV, individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. So, this is Srila Prabhupada's statement. You can't force devotees to do things, and it's not really bhakti. So, we should understand something about that point. So, I'd like to say a little something also more about Guru Seva. Guru Seva is such a very, very important thing. Srila Prabhupada describes in a wonderful purport. This is Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 28, text 51. Write it down. This is one of the most amazing statements from Srila Prabhupada. When one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'll read that again. When one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As explained before, this means meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the instructions of the spiritual master. This is technically called Vani Seva. This is our desire. Now, at this point, a question may arise. What if there's some conflict between our Guru Seva and our Vaishnava Seva? Ideally, there's no conflict. But at the same time, for a sincere disciple, their Gurudev is their everything. Narottam Das Thakur, he's quoted the attitude of Hanuman. He says, Srinathe Janaki Nathe Chabeda Paramatmani Tatapi Mama Sarva Samrama Kamala Lochana. My grandmother quoted this verse in response to someone's question. Well, what if there's some conflict between service to Guru and service to the Vaishnava? And he said that Srinathe Janaki Nathe Chabeda Paramatmani. There's no difference. Abeda Paramatmani. Lord Narayan and Lord Ramachandra are non-different. But Hanuman says, Tatapi Mama Sarvasvam, Rama Kamala Lochana. Lord Ramachandra, he's my everything. And similarly, I serve all the Vaishnavas. But if we serve all the Vaishnavas, if our attitude is, I'm friends with everyone, then it means you're really friends with no one. It means really you're an impersonalist. Because it's pure sentiment. If I'm serving everyone, then it means really I'm not serving anyone. Because we need to become a kuntik. We want to follow in the footsteps of a particular person. And when we follow in those footsteps of such a Vaishnava, then that's equivalent to having darshan of the Lord. And Prahlad Maharaj, he tells Lord Nrisimhadev, evam janam nipatitam prabhavahi kupe, kama bikama manuya papatan prasangat, kritvatma sat sudasina bhagavan grihita soham katam nivisije tavabritya sevam. My dear Lord, how can I give up the service of my guru, Narad Muni? Even for you, how can I give it up? He saved me. So hum katam nu vishajay. Vishajay means to give up. So hum katam, please tell me. So hum katam nu vishajay tava britya sevam. How can I give up his seva? In this regard, it reminds us of a story. There was one Vaishnav named Nandakishore Goswami who lived at Nityananda Vat in Vrindavan. It's also known as Sringaravat. It's just right next to the temple of Radha Damodar. And there was one disciple there named Nandakishore Goswami. He was a disciple, they say, of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Nandakishore Goswami was a very brilliant personality. He knew Shastra so much, and he had many disciples. One of his disciples is named Bondu. And Bondu in Hindi means a little bit of a dull-headed person, like an idiot. So Bondu was a real Bondu. He didn't know Shastra, didn't know verses like all the other disciples. He couldn't do archana, couldn't do so many things. But he was very sincere. He really loved his guru. And so Nandakishore Goswami thought, well, how am I going to engage him? He said, well, anyway, Bondu, you take care of the cows. Oh, thank you, Guru Maharaj. And he got some service from his Gurudev. And his Gurudev told him that you take the cows across the Jamuna every day to Bandirvan so they can eat grass. Yes, Guru Maharaj. And so Bondu was taking the cows every day to Bandirvan. And one day in Bandirvan, he met some Brijbasi children. And they told him, hey, Baba, it's very good that you're coming here to Bandirvan to herd the cows, because you know who comes here every day with his cows? Even now? Krishna. He comes every day here to Bandirvan to herd his cows. And Bondu, who is a simple person, he said, really? Krishna comes every day? Yes, Baba. You might see him. I might see him. And Bondu became very, very excited. And so the rest of the day he was searching. Where is Krishna? But he didn't see him. The next day he was searching. The day after, for many weeks, for many months, and for many years, Bondu was searching. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? The boys told me Krishna's here. Finally, after a long time, Bondu, he just sat down under a tree and he began to cry. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he describes in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Dhanna, Bhakti Krishna Nama Smarana Krandana Bolo, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, dana. Bhakti is the real wealth. What do you have to have a business being a carpenter for? Just do bhakti. Bhakti is the real wealth. Three times, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga. Okay, I got it. What is bhakti? And Vrindavan Das Thakur says, bhakti a Krishna nama. Bhakti is Krishna's name. But smarana krandana, remembering Krishna and crying. So Bondu, there in Bandirvan, he began to cry. Where is Krishna? I'm so unfortunate. I don't see Krishna. And he was crying in such a piteous way. Some of the local boys who were also herding cows, they heard him crying and they became very disturbed. They came running there. Saduji, is everything okay? Did someone get hurt? Is everything all right? And then Bondu said, I can't see Krishna. And they said, oh, it's another one of those Hare Krishna people. And he said, look, Baba, We want to give you some good advice. We've been living in Vrindavan our whole life. We're Brijbasis. We've seen a lot of people like you. Hare Krishna devotees come here and you cry and cry and you search around for Krishna and you just waste your whole life. And Krishna never shows up. Don't waste your time looking for that Krishna. He's a very tricky fellow anyway. You should just make friends with us. Don't worry. We'll be your droog. We'll be your friend. And so Bandhu said, very good. So he made friends with those boys. And every day he was bringing the cows there and they would spend time together. And one day when Bandhu was leaving the ashram of his guru, he had a bag of atta flour on his head. And Nandakishore Goswami asked him, Bandhu, where are you going with the flour? And Bandhu said, oh Guru Maharaj, I have some friends in Bandirvan and today we're having some feasts there and I promised them I'd bring some flour. And Nandakishore Goswami said, you didn't tell me about your friends. Who are your friends? Tell me. He said, oh Guru Maharaj, there's some really nice boys. They're Brijbasi boys. They also herd cows. And Guru Maharaj, the leader of them, he's so beautiful. His name is Kanu. And I know it sounds strange, Guru Maharaj, but he's kind of a little blackish. He has beautiful black hair. But he looks so beautiful. I've never seen anyone like him before. And then Nandakishore Goswami was looking at him. And he said, yes, Guru Maharaj. And Kanu, he's a very amazing person. Guru Maharaj, he plays a flute. And I've seen it. I know you won't believe this, Guru Maharaj, but I've seen it with my own eyes. When he starts playing a flute, the cows, they become stunned, and whatever grass is in their mouth just falls out of their mouth, and they just stand there listening to the flute. And not only that, I've seen other amazing things. The Jamuna River started flowing backwards. I've never seen it. And one time he was playing the flute, and a bird had landed in a puddle to drink some water, and the puddle became hard. And the bird got his beak stuck. It's an amazing thing. Nandakishore Goswami was listening to all this. And he said, Bandhu, today when you go see your friends, I want you to invite them here to the ashram tomorrow and tell them that your Guru Maharaj wants to see them and they're all invited here for a big feast. And Bandhu said, really? Oh, Guru Maharaj, that's so good. Yes, yes. Huh? So Bandhu left. And that day he was playing with Krishna and Balaram and all the boys there in Bandirvan Forest. And at one point, Bandhu said, hey, Kanu, good news. Hey, tomorrow, Gurudev, he's inviting all of you to come for lunch tomorrow. You please come to the ashram. And Krishna, he paused for a moment and he slowly shook his head and he said, Bandhu, you tell your Guru Maharaj that he can't see me in this lifetime. And Bandhu said, come on, it's my Gurudev. Don't play jokes like that. You have to come. Come on, it's Gurudev. And Krishna said, Bandhu, I'm sorry, but you tell him he can't see me in this lifetime. And suddenly Bandhu, his lips started quivering. And he spun around without saying a word and he started walking away really fast. And Krishna, who's pursued by the greatest of yogis and mystics, he started chasing after Bandhu. Hey, Bandhu, where are you going? And Bandhu wouldn't even turn around. He just remarked over his shoulder, he said, you're not my friend anymore. He said, if you won't come to see my Gurudev, then I don't want to see you. Goodbye. And Bandhu was walking away. And Krishna went running after him and grabbed his coat. Hey, Bandhu, of course we can come. What I meant to say is tomorrow's Balaram's birthday. He can't come. But of course we can come. It's your Guru Maharaj is inviting. We have to go. So this is a purport to this verse spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. Lord Nisringadev invited Prahlad. Instructed Prahlad. Prahlad, I want you to come with me. I want you to be with me. It's kind of a little scary to disobey Lord Nisringadev when he gives a direct instruction. But Prahlad said, I'm sorry, I can't go. I have something more important to do. Evam janam nupatitam prabhavahi kupe kama vikama manuya prapatan prasangat kritvatma sat sudhasina bhagavan grihita soham katam nuvishijeta vibrityasevam. Evam janam nipatitam prabhavahi kupe. Along with all these common people, prabhavahi kupe, I'd fallen into a deep dark well. I was suffering kama bikamam. I was running after sense gratification like every other good person, so-called good person in this world. He said, but your devotee, Narad Muni, he saved me. How can I give up his service? So there's something more important than going with you. I have my Guru Seva. This was the comment of Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Nisringadev. And therefore Srila Prabhupada, he said in that purport that we were reading from the fourth canto, when one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. An example is Bhondu. He was a simple person. He couldn't chant Gayatri Mantra, just like Jayananda Prabhu. A very simple devotee. And he was chanting Gayatri Mantra, and I don't know if I have all the details exactly right, but something like this. Tamal Krishna Maharaj heard him chanting, and he said, what are you doing? And he took Jayananda with him to Srila Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, he's not chanting the mantra properly. Prabhupada said, it's okay. He said, no, Prabhupada, he's really not chanting it right. Prabhupada said, anyway, Jayananda, you recite the mantra. And Jayananda Prabhu started saying something. Didn't sound like the Gayatri mantra. And Srila Prabhupada just started laughing. And Prabhupada didn't correct him. Prabhupada didn't tell him you have to chant like this or that. I don't know if Jayananda Prabhu could, actually. But Prabhupada told him, well, you just serve. And he's such a simple Vaishnava. And Srila Prabhupada said Jayananda went back to Godhead. Such a great personality. So Bhondu was like that. He didn't know so much Shastra. He wasn't a big high-tech devotee. He wasn't even a book distributor. He didn't know Shastra. He didn't know Gayatri Mantra or anything. But he had this one qualification, that he was very determined, no matter what, I'll serve my Gurudev. I'll never give up my Gurudev in the service of my Guru. When one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was so determined to follow that service, he saw Krishna and Balaram. As explained before, Prabhupada says, this means meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the instruction of the spiritual master. This is technically called Vani Seva. In this regard, we can also make a little comment that for us, our Vaishnava Seva is our everything. Our Guru Seva is our everything. Sometimes some sentimental people, yesterday we were reading that purport of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam on, what's the verse? About the qualification, the symptoms of a Madhyama Adhikari. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he says in the purport, the Vaishnava was reading this to us yesterday in such a wonderful way, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that the nature of a Kanishta is that he doesn't respect the Madhyam. He respects what he thinks is an Uttam, but he's sentimental. He thinks that spiritual life means to just love everybody. And so similarly, we've seen that sometimes such sentimental people, when they come to spiritual life, they think that all the sadhus are one. And because I'm a really broad-minded person, I go to so many different places and so many different people. But Srila Prabhupada discouraged the devotees from doing that. And I found, we've been living here in India for 25 years, doing research for our publication, where can we do something a little unusual. For our research, we go and we visit different scholars and sometimes different sadhus, different mahants in different places. And I found that wherever I go, all those mahants and people, all of them tell their disciples, don't go here and there. Stay with your guru. Now you may think, a neophyte devotee will think, oh, Gurudev is being sectarian. Or someone is telling us that we should stay here, they're being sectarian. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he says, this is the attitude of a Kanishta Adhikari. He's very sentimental. He doesn't understand the necessity of making some distinction. He doesn't understand the necessity of being Guru Nishta, of being fixed in the service of Gurudev. And it's not sectarianism. It's not that the Guru is saying such a thing for his own pleasure, but he's doing that for the benefit of that disciple. So we should know what is real Guru Seva. There's a nice song which Prajumna is here right now. He helped me, he translated this with us. The song by Premadas, you remember? Very nice song. We'll sing this, you can chant Hare Krishna in response. It's a bit of a rare song, very, very nice song, in which he describes what is the meaning of the word sevak, and who's a real sevak? What does it really mean to be a servant of Gurudev? Kaharachi Ashraya Kailachi Ki Seva Navadara. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Re Mana, he says, my dear mind, Tumiki Bhanda Makara, what kind of deceitfulness are you doing? Sevakahaichi. You're considering that I'm a sevak. You're considering Ashraya Kalechi, that I've taken shelter. Kiseye Garabhadhara. Dara means to carry, Garabha means pride. Why are you carrying this pride? You really think you're a sevak? What is a sevak? And Premadas explains. Sevaka Baliya Etina Akara Tinera Tina Tikama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Taya Dina Kodo Kimata Akshara Sechi Sese Vakana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Sevaka Baliya Etina Akara. There's three syllables in the word sevaka, sevaka, tinaratinatikam. And these indicate three different words. He says, my dear mind, if you don't follow this behavior, nakaro, nakoro, kimata achar, se kishi sevaka nam. What kind of sevak are you? So what is the meaning of the word sevak? Se akara kore guru seva sada sikara guru bhava. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Chacha di se di hi shri bha pauli se guchi rahi la bhaka. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. your mind, se akara kore, the word se, the akara, the syllable se, kore guru seva sada, indicates, se means you should do seva to Gurudev. How? Shikara guru vak, according to the instructions of Gurudev. Yeah, this is the meaning of se, when you say sevaka. But what are you doing? Tachadi sevili, stribak palili. You gave up your Gurudev's instructions to follow stribak palili, your wife's instructions. He said, therefore, in the word sevak, the first syllable se is gone, and all that's left is bukka. You become like a crane, bukka. And bukka is a bird which puts on a big show. Brihanaradiya Purana describes that the bukka is a bird. It looks like he's a sadhu. He's standing on one leg and meditating. He looks very sober, standing in the water. But actually what he's doing, he's looking for a fish that he can eat. So if you drop the first syllable of the word sevaka, then you just become a bukka. Someone who's putting on a show. If you don't have se, which means guru seva. And what does va mean? Vaishnava sahite vasudeva bhaja fukari kahi cheva. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Nasali ni ashte majili vachadi rahila. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He said the second syllable va, ba, and sevaka indicates that in association with the Vaishnavas, Vaishnava Sahite, Vasudeva Bhaja. This is the meaning of the word va. If you want to be a sevaka, it means, first of all, say that you do guru seva. And secondly, it means that you do bhajan with the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, you're not a sevak. He said, but tahana sunili, you never heard that. And so, asate majili vachari rahilaka. And you become absorbed in mundane things, and therefore the syllable va has disappeared, and all that's left is ka. And what does ka mean? Ka bole kahana Krishna charitra shravana kirtana dhyana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Thakali kokana, sansare madana, kagela koriyamana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Kabole kahana. Ka means reciting Krishna katha, Krishna charitra, shravana kirtana dhyan. It means hearing and chanting about Krishna. Sa seva ka. Se means guru seva. Va means hearing and chanting with the Vaishnavas. And ka means hearing and chanting about Krishna. He said, but tavali kakana sangsari magana kagela koriyaman. My dear mind, what are you doing? You became so absorbed in worldly things. You also ignored that. And you weren't absorbed in hearing about Krishna. And so he says, the se is gone, the va is gone, and now the ka is gone. So what kind of sevaka are you? And what happens at that point? Eki eki deka tine ichadila Vasati hoila Hari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Kahi premananda te jama kinkara Hate bajai che kali Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. Eke eke deka, one by one, tine chadila, you've given up all three of these things. And there's nothing left to save a cup. Kahi premananda. The poet Premananda Das, he says, Te jama kinkara. Now, the kinkara means the servant. Jama kinkara, the servants of Jamaraj. Hate bajaichi tali. Now they're clapping their hands in joy. They're very, very happy. We didn't think we were going to get him. But now he's given up seva and ka. He's given up being a sevak. We should think deeply about it. What does it mean to be a sevak? What does it mean to do service to Guru? There's a nice story in this regard we can finish with. That there was one devotee here in Navadvip who approached Gaurakishore's Babaji, and he was staying with him and rendering so much service. He was a sevaka, right? To Gaurakishore Das Babaji. And people respected him. Oh, he's serving Gurudev. He's serving this Mahatma so nicely. And so many people would give him money. And that servant was giving it, using it money for the service of Gaurakishore Das Babaji for some time. But after a while, he thought, anyway, Guru Maharaj is detached. And he's doing okay. But my father is very poor. He doesn't have anything. And so he started keeping that money and giving it to his poor father. And Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he understood this thing was going on. And that servant, so-called sevak of Gaurakishore Das Babaji, used to cook rice for him. But when he came to understand this thing, then Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he stopped taking any cooked rice from him. And he went back to his previous practice. And this story, by the way, is told by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati. We had this translated from Sajjana Toshini, from Amar Prabhu Katha. It's an article, series of articles that Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta wrote and edited himself about the life of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. So Gaurakishore went back to his previous practice. He would just take some raw cracked rice and pour some Ganga Jal in it and just eat that when he got hungry. Sometimes he would just become so absorbed sitting and chanting, he would forget all about that even. And after a few days, sometimes his stomach would start making noises. Hey, remember me? You're not taking care of me, you know. You should feed me something. And Gaurakishore Das Babaji, and he would come a little to external consciousness, and being annoyed by the demands of his stupid stomach, he would just do the first thing he could. He'd reach out and grab some Ganga mud and eat that. Shut up. And go back to his bhajan. You can't imitate Gaurakishore Das Babaji. So when he began to again go back to his previous habit of eating that raw cracked rice mixed with Ganga Jal, many people around him became unhappy, and the servant also became unhappy. And when Gaurakishore Das Babaji heard that they were becoming disturbed, and he told them, he said, look, if that person who's been living around me doesn't immediately leave this place, then I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to jump into the Ganga and drown myself. And everybody was very shocked. They couldn't understand what he's talking about. And a few days later, Gaurakishore Das Babaji is walking on the bank of the Ganga. And then suddenly, without any warning, he just jumped into the Ganga to drown himself. And understanding, seeing what was going on, some people jumped into the water and they grabbed him and pulled him out of the water. And Gaurakishore Das Babaji began to chastise him and started shouting, leave me alone! Leave me alone! He said, because I've not been able to do my worship properly to the Lord, then I'm going to give up this stupid body. So finally they took him out of the Ganga and they brought him back up. And when he regained external consciousness, Gurgashir's Babaji, he chastised him. He said, why did you take me out of the Ganga? That person I've been living with, he's taking everything that you're giving him and he's giving all the money to his father. And so the people, that they thought, oh, Babaji Maharaj, he wants money. He's upset because he doesn't have enough money. And so they told Gurgashir's Babaji, don't worry, Maharaj. However much money that he took, we'll give you the same amount of money. And the servant, when he heard about it, he said, no, Guru Maharaj, however much money was wasted by me, I promise I'll give you 4 times the amount of money. And Gurgashir's Babaji told him, I don't want money. I'm not interested in your wealth. But I don't want to live in association with deceitful persons. Because in their association, in your association, it's not possible for me to properly worship the Lord. And I can't eat the rice that you're cooking. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, at first, they thought that he threw himself in the Ganga because he was attached to money. But then they could understand that Gurgashir's Babaji was not a beggar of mundane wealth. Rather, he refused to tolerate a person who is deceitful in his bhakti, in his service. So service has to be rendered with sincerity. We want these three qualities, sevaka. And sincere service means that we please the spiritual master by hearing and chanting about Krishna. And Srila Jiva Goswami, he's described this in his Gopal Champu in the first section, chapter 33, text 61. And he says there's 7 different types of people who bring pain to the heart. Listen carefully. 7 different types of persons. Nipo na hari sevita kavaya kriti na haryarpika kavir na hari varnaka shita guru na haryashrita guni na hari tapada sadasadir na krishna shraya sana braja rama nuga swahidi sapta soyani me. He says these 7 are like spears in my heart. My Guru Maharaj liked this verse very much. He said the first is a king who doesn't do service to Krishna. The second is a miser who doesn't offer anything to Krishna. He has money but he doesn't give anything to Krishna. The third person who causes like a spear in the heart is a poet who doesn't use his skills to glorify Krishna. The fourth is someone who's taken shelter of Guru but not taken shelter of Krishna. The fifth is someone who has good qualities but is not enthusiastic to do service for Krishna. The sixth is a person who has good intelligence but doesn't surrender to Krishna. And the seventh is the same person who may surrender but he doesn't become a follower of the Braj Gopis. Even he may avoid all the previous things, but if he doesn't become a servant of the Braj Gopis, Jiva Goswami says, his association is like a spear in the heart. So the fourth category is Shrita Guru Nahara Shrita, someone who takes shelter of Guru but not taking shelter of Krishna. And that person, he's not a sevaka. He's just making a show. And he's just doing some kind of business. And the Vaishnavas are not pleased by that person. Gurudev is not pleased by that person. You know, Mahadev Shambhu, Lord Shiva, he's Vaishnavanam Yata. He's best of the Vaishnavas. And he's the head of his own Vaishnav Sampradaya. He had one disciple who served him very, very nicely. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that that disciple got the sa kapata kripa, or the mercy with cheating, from Lord Shiva. Although he was serving him so nicely, what was his fault? His fault was He didn't want to worship Krishna. He didn't want to worship Lord Ramachandra. And even though that disciple was very dear to Lord Shiva, he was cheated by him. And Lord Shiva gave him lots of wealth, but he was cheated. And that disciple, his name was Ravan. Ravan was a servant of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is a great Vaishnava. But because Ravan didn't want to worship Ramachandra, then he simply got the sakkapata kripa. He got some mercy with cheating. We want the nishkapata kripa, the mercy that's free from cheating. And that mercy comes when we show Gurudev that we're serving him not for wealth, not for prestige, but we're serving because we simply want to please him. I'll finish with an analogy from the Bhagavatam. In the ninth canto, the story is there of Mohini Murti. And Mohini Murti came to resolve. She was the first mediator. We have our ISKCON mediation program going on in our society. The first mediator was Mohini Murti, because there was a quarrel between the demigods and the demons, and they were both saying, we deserve the amrit, the nectar. So Mohini came there and she said, look, will you trust me? And all the demons said, yeah, we'll trust you. That's the nature of demoniac persons. When they see a beautiful woman, they just give anything that they have to that woman without thinking. Yes, we'll trust you. She said, then give the nectar to me. I'll take care. And so she took that nectar, and Mohini, she completely ignored the demigods. And she started smiling at the demons. And she was winking at them and making faces and things. And the demons are becoming very excited. They're saying, she likes me. Stupid guy. She likes me. They were quarreling like this. And Mohini Murti seemed to be paying all of her attention to the demons and no attention to the demigods. But meanwhile, behind her back, she was giving all the nectar to the demigods. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that sometimes Gurudev does like this. He gives someone some sakkapata kripa, some mercy with cheating, like Ravan. Ravan worshipped Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva gave him the city of Lanka, golden city, and so much fantastic wealth, and so much power. But he was cheated by the Lord. In the same way, Gurudev sometimes gives some big position to someone who wants it. Yes, yes, you should be in charge. My Guru Maharaj, he told one devotee, he said, you should be my personal servant. And he said, I always want you with me. I never want you away from me. And later on, one of Guru Maharaj's godbrothers and friends told him, he said, Guru Maharaj, why you said like this person causes so much trouble? Why are you saying? Guru Maharaj said, yes, that's why I told him like this. Because I want to keep him with me all the time so I can try to keep him out of trouble. But he's thinking, oh, Gurudev likes me so much that we don't know. And we should understand we're not the judge. But just simply getting a golden city or getting a big position from Gurudev doesn't mean that we've gotten the real mercy of Gurudev. If we don't want to worship Krishna, it puts a spear in the heart of Guru. And he becomes very unhappy with that person, like Ravan. And he may give some mundane benediction, but he doesn't give the real fruit. Prema Pumartha Mohan, the Panchama Purusharta, the fifth and highest goal, which is Krishna Prema. Rather, that person will get some dharma, artha, kama, maybe moksha, but he won't get Krishna Prema. He'll be cheated like Mohini Murti cheated the demons. So we'll stop there. It's a few thoughts about Guru Seva today. And we've gone over time again. If devotees need to go, thank you, Prabhuji, Vijayana Prabhu, Vijayananda. If anybody has any reflections they'd like to share with us? Any thoughts? Say? Krishna is wonderful. My grandmother once gave me an instruction. He said, anytime someone asks you to speak, you have no choice. You must. He said, but when you speak, just repeat what you've heard. And then he paused for a moment and jammed his finger really hard in my chest. And he said, don't think it belongs to you. That's the hard part. But we have that job. That's our service. If we're speaking, we're just trying to repeat. Just like if you're doing artik, your service is just to offer the articles you've been instructed to do. And it doesn't belong to us. And then it's nice. Anything else is there? Okay.
A question.
Okay.
I was wondering, how is it that Krishna wouldn't go to see Nandakishore Goswami, but he would give Bandhu darshan? He wouldn't give darshan to his guru, but he would give darshan to his disciple.
I don't know if everybody could hear that question. He's asking how it is, I don't understand, that Krishna wouldn't give darshan to Nandakishore Goswami, at least initially. Later he gave him darshan, and Nandakishore Goswami wrote a wonderful book called Vrindavan Lilamrita, which is like a description of all Krishna's Braj Leela from the Bhagavatam. But Krishna didn't give him darshan, but he gave darshan to Bandhu, his disciple. How do we understand that? I don't know of any commentary on this, but we can, if we contemplate it, I think it's a little obvious that Srila Prabhupada gives the explanation in his purport in the fourth canto, that when someone becomes serious about executing the order of the spiritual master, then that resolution is tantamount to directly seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Bandhu, he was more fortunate than his guru because he had faith in the order of his Gurudev. He was able to see Krishna. And then how did Nandakishore Goswami get darshan of Krishna? By the mercy of Bandhu. By the mercy of his disciple. Sometimes it happens like that. Mataji has something?
I like how you said that if you take se out of sarup, then it becomes papa, just the shore. And also with the milker, that you can do something out of fear, and then it's not working. Milker who wakes up
at 4 a.m. My hearing's a little bad.
Like the one who just follows the rules won't necessarily attain bhakti. So a milkman who wakes up at 4 in the morning.
Oh, she's appreciating the principle of sevaka, and someone who just follows the rules and things. Like a milkman gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning, but he doesn't get bhakti from that. Very good. We should think deeply about it and what we're doing. Sometimes we become enamored, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, with we become charmed by the Vedas and all the different rules and regulations of the Vedas. We want to become Vedic, whatever that is. I'm not really sure exactly what Vedic is, because it's a little different in South India, it's different in Gujarat, it's different in North India, it's different in Bengal, it's different in Orissa. But we sometimes have that desire. I think rather, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he envisioned that Vaishnavas will have some qualities from their particular place. Like there's Manipuri Vaishnavas, there's South Indian Vaishnavas, there's Gujarati Vaishnavas, there's Odia Vaishnavas, there's Bengali Vaishnavas, there's Brijbasi Vaishnavas, and they're all a little different. And what to speak of the Chinese Vaishnavas, and the American Vaishnavas, and the Russian Vaishnavas, and the Swedish Vaishnavas, they're going to be a little different. There's certain things that we follow, that everyone follows, Panchanga Bhakti, right? Chanting the holy name, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, associating with the devotees and living in the Dham, those are things that all the devotees do. But the particular rules and regulations and how things are done, the particular diet, even the particular dress, according to Sanatana Goswami and Hari Bhakti Vilas, will be a little different. So we should understand what is the essential principle. And it's very important for us to understand as preachers. Do we need to tell everyone that are you going to go, excuse me for saying something really controversial, you're going to go to a gay parade in San Francisco and preach to some lesbian lady that she should give up her tattoos and her body piercing and she should get married to a guy. And she might break your nose. And maybe she can't do that. But she might be able to get Krishna Prem. And who cares if she gets married? Although it's nice and it's helpful, this Vedic culture, we want to follow it, but it's not that bhakti is dependent upon it. And this is something which is a little difficult to understand sometimes, and for which we need to take shelter of our guru, because we're all individuals. And Gurudev will see what that individual devotee needs. Prabhupada speaks about this in the Gita. You have something, Prabhuji?
You're talking about Kapat Kripa and Nishkapat Kripa. So it's from the personality who's giving the mercy.
It's from the which?
It's from the personality who's giving the mercy.
Uh-huh.
How do we keep purifying our desire? Because we may not realize many times, and there are, you know, at times, you know, where we have bad distress, we go to Krishna and pray for help.
So he's saying that I mentioned two types of mercy, sakkapata kripa and nishkapata kripa, or mercy with cheating and mercy without cheating. And how do we function? He said, how do we approach Krishna like that? How do we purify ourselves from that? How do we know we go to Gurudev? I can tell as a personal story, I sometimes tell in my own regard, that my Guru Maharaj, the first instruction he gave me, I was initiated previously in ISKCON. The first instruction he gave me, he said, I want you to come to Bhubaneswar and install the deities of Radha Gopinath. That's a very big thing. I'd been doing some puja and things before, and I felt very unqualified for that. And so a year went by, and one day I went in to see Guru Maharaj in his hut, and I said, Guru Maharaj, I know you're going to Africa in a few days. I'm not going to be able to go with you. So while you're gone, I'm thinking about the service coming up. And I was thinking to go to South India and study some devotees there, some ISKCON devotees, so I can learn how to do puja better, so I can do the service better. And Guru Maharaj said, yes, very good. You do like that. So I was happy, and I walked out of his hut, and I thought, Guru Maharaj told me to go do this, and then I stopped. Did he tell me to do this? Or did he just give me permission because I wanted to do this? Is he really giving me mercy, or is he cheating me? And then if I go back and ask him, maybe he might cheat me again. I don't know. So I thought about it for a minute. And I went back inside, offered obeisances, and Guru Maharaj said, well, what is it? And I said, Guru Maharaj, I was thinking about it, and I can't go to South India. And he said, why not? And he said, because I don't think you want me to. And if you want me to do, then I'll do. And if you don't want, I won't. And my Guru Maharaj, he gave me kind of a funny, piercing look. And he said, better you stay here. And you serve Lord Jagannath. So, how can we tell? Sometimes we can't. And because we have so many material desires, we don't know the desire of Guru. We're not such elevated persons. We have a hum mam above, this offense to the holy name of identifying with our body and our bodily identification and our material desires. You can't escape that. It's not that we can just artificially say, okay, I'm going to throw that off. That may take some time, and it has to be genuine. So we may get cheated, but it's sakkapata kripa. It's still kripa. It's still mercy. And my Guru Maharaj once spoke about this. He said, somebody said, Guru Maharaj, why are you cheating people? And Guru Maharaj, he told us, he said, I don't cheat anyone. He said, but Krishna will cheat you. Krishna will cheat us. Krishna will speak through Guru. And he'll give us what we want. But he'll give it to us, in my Guru Maharaj's words, in such a way, you'll never ask for it again. That's the benefit of sakkapata kripa. We want something. I really, 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 really want to become the temple president. Yes. And then you become the temple president. Oh my God. There's so much politics, and it's very, very difficult, and it's a big headache, and everybody hates me now, and oh, what did I do? And so that's mercy. We got some mercy. Now we realize that we shouldn't just want that thing for ourselves. We should desire things for Gurudev. Okay? So I think we should stop here. It's a little late now. Thank you all very much. So tomorrow we have our last session. Tomorrow our topic is how Krishna wants to serve his devotees. Krishna Kun is going to make a quick announcement, I think. So stay tuned. I don't know how to do this.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. I just wanted to mention that we have several books and magazines from Gopaji Publications there at the table in the back. So if you feel inspired, please come and get them. And also you can sign up for the free email magazine, Krishna Vatamita Bindu, which comes every Ekadasi with lots of Krishna Vata. Hopefully see you tomorrow. Hare Krishna.
really in Russian? There's one more commercial announcement.
I think he translated, isn't it?
What?
Sarvagya Prabhu, вы перевели объявление или нет?
He translated. Okay.
Which one?